So let's say that you're home and you're doing whatever you do when you're at home, hopefully nothing sinful, and the door rings, you go to your door, you open it, and someone is there who you know, but you don't really know them all that well. They kind of know you, but not really. They're more or less acquaintances at best, kind of strangers in a sense. And they say to you, I would love it if I could just live with you and just be here the rest of my life. And I could just live here and dine with you and just hang out with you. And is that okay? What would you say? Would you allow them into your home for the rest of your life? Or would you probably say, no, that's okay? You probably would reject them, even though you might mean well, because they're kind of strangers. You really don't know them, and they really don't know you. That's what we would do. And that's what we expect God not to do with us. So if we wouldn't allow people into our house because they're strangers, why do we expect God to let us into heaven if we too are really strangers to him? That's the challenge that the second reading in the first letter of John gives to us. So he says, and it's very strong, but he doesn't mince any words. If you claim that you know Jesus and you don't keep his commandments, you are a liar. You're a liar. And when I thought about that, it reminded me of Matthew 25, the story of the sheep and the goats, where when he's talking about the goats, they'll tell Jesus, like, let me in, like, I did good things, you know. And what are the words that Jesus gives? Depart from me, I do not know you. I don't know who you are. Why would I let you in if I don't even know who you are? Right? Do you even know who I am? And so the challenge for you and me is this question: do we know God? Do we know Jesus Christ? Or do we know of him? We know some things about him, right? Most people in the world know of him. They know he lived 2 millennia ago. He was a carpenter. He lived in first century Palestine. He lived a poor life. He died around the age of 33. He was crucified by the Romans. He said some stuff. He was a teacher. He was a prophet, whatever you want to call him. Like, people know that about him, like you and I would know certain things about certain people. But do we know him like you would know your spouse or an intimate friend? Because from what John is saying in the second reading, if you want to know him, you have to keep his commandments. And so that's the other question. Do we keep his commandments? Do we know what the commandments are? If I quizzed you today, which I won't do, I said, list the Ten Commandments in order, how would you do? I don't know. I don't know. I won't do it. But maybe not a bad test, right? Do we know the commandments? And I don't mean just the Ten Commandments. Like, do we know above and beyond? Do we know the Sermon on the Mount? Do we know what he teaches us? Do we know what he believes? Because a lot of times what we do as weak human beings is we justify our actions, and we're like cafeteria Catholics. You may have heard that term before, where we pick and choose the teachings that we like, and we leave behind the ones that we don't like. And so we kind of project this on Jesus, like, Jesus, I know you taught all these things, but I don't agree with all of them, so I'm just going to follow the ones that I like. Okay, then we're not following the commandments, and then according to John, we don't know Jesus. And then why would we expect him to accept us, right? So part of the challenge for us is to actually know our faith. And that's the beautiful thing about the gospel. This gospel in Luke, unfortunately, it's after the great Road to Emmaus story, which is a great resurrection account. But after this encounter, it says very beautifully that Jesus was with them and he made them understand the scriptures. So he was with them. He spoke with them. He unpacked things for them. And that's what God wants to do with you and with me if we're willing to take the time to do that. So are we willing to take the time to pray every day, to read the Bible every day, to study the scriptures, to do what we're supposed to be doing in our faith? You know, many times in my priesthood, I've only been a priest for about 6 years, but still, when I'm catechizing children, I have found that parents also need catechizing. And the children know more than their parents do. That's not good. Because when your child was baptized, You were told, do you understand the responsibility that you were undertaking? And you said, yes. And the church teaches that the parents are the first teachers of the faith to their children. Not the priests, not the nuns, not the faith formation teachers, not the volunteers. We're there to help you, but the parents are the first teachers of the faith. Do you know Jesus Christ? That's what I think we should bring to prayer today. And maybe you're like, I don't have time. The Bible's very difficult. That's all excuses. Let's just call it what it is. You have time. You have time. Maybe an exercise to do would be to go through your 24-hour day and to list all the things you do in a given day and how much time you spend on them. And list them from top to bottom, the things you spend most of the time on, the things you spend the least amount of time on. So maybe like sleeps, like 7-8 hours, okay? Then maybe like eating meals or whatever. And if you look at that list and you bring that list to prayer, you bring it to adoration, then you can say, Lord, this is how I spend my time. And the reality is that the things that are on the top of that list, the things that you spend the most of your time on, those are your top priorities in your life, whether they should be or not, whether you want them to be or not. And so it's like, Lord, these are my priorities. Are these the priorities you want in my life, or are they not? And most of us have enough of a developed conscience to look at that list and say, maybe something's a little off kilter here, and maybe it shouldn't be as it is right now. And so I need to maybe cut off some other things like wasting time with television or social media or YouTube or sleeping in or whatever it is that we do to waste our time. And instead, maybe take 10 minutes and carve out and have a conversation with the Lord and read the scriptures, at least read the gospels, at least know the teachings of Christ. And the thing is, and I know it's hard to believe, this is not burdensome. It is a great invitation to a great relationship with a person, right? Our faith is based on a person, and he wants to know you as an intimate friend would want to know you. So if we can do this with other people, why don't we take the time to do it with the Lord? So brothers and sisters, as we continue through the season of Easter, I encourage you to really think about these things and really pray about them, because we don't want to hear on the judgment seat of Christ, depart from me, I don't even know who you are. We would rather much hear, welcome. I've been waiting for you. I know you. I know you know me. We have a great relationship. Of course, come on in. Enter your master's joy. This is what you've been waiting for your entire life. Every time you've sinned, you've been seeking this throughout the whole time. Those are the words you want to hear. So it's challenging, yes, but it's the way to life. So may we know Jesus Christ. Know him. Not just know of him.